This is VSiN, the sports betting network.
25 pro handicappers, $30,000 on the line. This is the Circa Friday Football Invitational, presented by Omaha Steaks on VSiN, the sports betting network. Here's your host, Matt Eumanns.
All right, Chris the Bear Felica warming up. He's ready to go. We're going to get to his analysis and plays here in a moment. Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of the Circa Friday Football Invitational. Right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings and save 50% site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSiN. All right, week 18 of the contest is here. The champ of the inaugural contest in 2022 is here. Chris the Bear Felica joins the show tonight, calling him the Pirate of the Caribbean. He's back from his cruise. Bear, how was your cruise?
It was great. It was awesome to get away and worry about nothing except getting up and figuring if we're going to eat at the Terrace Cafe or the Polo Grill or wherever else on the boat. It was good to get away and relax and not deal with any work or anything like that and see the sun, unlike the 12 degrees that it is right now in Connecticut.
You know, it seemed like an oddly timed cruise for a guy who's a college football diehard like you. Did your wife plan that cruise? How many islands did you hit, by the way?
We hit five. We did Puerto Rico, St. Kitts, St. Thomas, Antigua, and St. Martin. So we hit all of those five. And the timing of it was a little weird because we knew we wanted to get away over Christmas this year. And when we were looking at cruises during the summer, late summer, and when we bought, I'm like, you know what? Miami's going to win the ACC, so they're going to have a first-round bye. So I'll be back by the time the Canes play their first-round playoff game. And then sure enough, they don't, and they wind up getting in. And here I am watching the game on I'm streaming it on my laptop on a cruise ship in the middle of the Atlantic. But it was fun. We would do it all over again. And hey, maybe it was a little bit of good karma for me just to kind of get away and deal with it and not have to worry about that sitting at home.
Just quickly, as a pro tip, for you visited all those islands, which one was your favorite or which two were your favorites?
Well, I liked Antigua quite a bit. I thought that was nice. And my favorite is it's St. Thomas because we were married there. And it was good to see the island kind of rebuilt and looking really, really good and in great shape after the hurricanes a few years ago. So St. Thomas will always have a dear place in my heart.
All right, Chris the Bear Felica of Fox Sports with us, the 2022 champ in this contest. And Bear, speaking of the hurricanes, let's go with Miami here and talk about Miami Ole Miss. I know you were very confident in the Hurricanes against the Buckeyes. Miami knocked off Ohio State. And right now you're not playing the side in this game, but you are going to play the total. Miami Ole Miss under 51.5.
Yeah, I can see this being kind of caveman football from Miami. Just a lot of running plays, a lot of milking the clock, not giving the ball over to Trinidad Chambliss and that Ole Miss offense. And I could very easily see like Ole Miss having like 2.5 drives in the first half with the way Miami's ability to control the line of scrimmage, run the ball. As I could see a very, very quick game. I am more worried about this game from a side standpoint for Miami than I was in the Ohio State game. Miami now is the hunted instead of the hunter. They're favored. They're kind of getting the pat on the back now about how, oh, well, they can win it all. And this is something that we were talking about for the last couple of months. And Ole Miss is kind of the plucky underdog now. Who knows who the hell is going to be coaching their team. It feels like everyone's been making the analogy of the Steve Fisher Michigan 89 championship game, but I think this is going to be a lower scoring game. I think possession totals for Ole Miss in this game will be low, and we're going to be looking at Miami really with the big time of possession advantage.
You feel like the Miami defense, which is a legit defense, and Ohio State had all sorts of issues with that. The Ohio State offense did not look very good against the Hurricanes. You feel like the Canes can control Trinidad Chambliss, who I started to have flashbacks to Johnny Manziel when I was watching that game last night.
I was thinking the same thing, and I was even thinking as a Miami guy just watching Cam Ward last year with Miami just kind of making things up occasionally as they went along. I think they can. I think Keontae Scott is going to be a massive impact player. He had that pick six against Ohio State. And if you watch that Ole Miss offense, they did run a lot of those similar type of wide receiver screens that he had the pick six against Ohio State. So that Miami secondary, obviously working in tandem with the defensive line, I think they should be able to control them. But again, it would not surprise me if they did get a couple of busted coverage like Ohio State did against Miami. And I'm hopeful Miami should win. If they both play their best games, Miami will win. But we haven't always seen that at times. So I think of all the plays here in the game, I like the under the most, and I will just root for Miami in person. And hopefully the Canes can have a home game or game in their home stadium at least to try and win that title.
Well, you mentioned the coaching situation for Ole Miss. What's your quick take on how you think that's going to develop this week?
I can't imagine those guys leaving those players right now. There was a reason they went back at the start to go coach them. Like, I had heard that Charlie Weiss was going to stay at Ole Miss. Like, if Lane didn't allow him to go back to Ole Miss, like, Charlie was going to say, I'm going to stay. So I would be surprised if Charlie Weiss left and stayed at LSU and was not there in the booth for this game. We'll see what happens, but it's a really weird dynamic because publicly Lane is doing and saying all the right things. I'm rooting for Ole Miss, putting out Trinidad flags on his Twitter feed, but you got to wonder inside just kind of is he really wishing the best for Ole Miss right now that they could ultimately play for and win a national title without him? It would kind of go against everything that he said the last couple of weeks.
I don't believe for a second that he's rooting for Ole Miss to win that championship without him. Do you?
I don't either. No, not at all.
No. And you got to let those coaches got to stay with that team. That's a really bad look if they don't stay with this team now at this point. Bear, I just had Kenny White, Las Vegas odds maker, pro bettor, on the show here last hour. And I'm going to read off his plays and let you react to some of his college plays here. Kenny White right now tied for fourth in the contest. He had two in the NFL. Seahawks, 49ers, under 48. Steelers, plus 3.5. That Steelers number is now up to 4.5 here at Circa. 3.5 this morning when we locked in the lines for the contest. He's also got Wake Forest, plus 3 tonight. Tonight's best bet, Arizona SMU, over the total of 51.5 in the Holiday Bowl. That's a popular play in the contest tonight, the over in the Holiday Bowl. Uh-huh. Kenny is also on Illinois State, plus 10. And Illinois State, Montana State, under 56. And he's got Ole Miss plus 3. And that number is 3.5 now across the board. So just your initial reaction to Kenny White's plays there. And what do you think of that over tonight in the Arizona-SMU game?
Well, I don't know if it's been publicly reported or not, but I've heard rumblings that Arizona is going to be down like their best 3 or 4 defensive players tonight. And obviously, it sounds like people were kind of in the know on that. With Arizona's defense, so that probably has a lot to do with that move in that game. I kind of feel I like his FCS play. I mean, Brock Speck and Illinois State—they've been doing all the right things in the playoff. I mean, shit, down a couple of touchdowns to the Bison early on with win, with down 3.5 minutes to go, and just getting to this point. A lot of pressure on Montana State after winning that game against their in-state rival last week, looking to win there. First FCS title as well. So a lot of pressure, big spread for a guy with a good defensive background. Yeah, I get his Ole Miss play quite a bit. I'm on the same side as him with that Steelers game. I think it's an ultimately perfect Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin, voodoo-type deal. Go to Detroit, beat the Lions, put up a bunch of points. Absolutely inept offensive performance against the Cleveland Browns. Yep. Now you come back home. Lamar is playing. Ravens, give it to Derrick Henry 35 times, and you'll win. Perfect situation for the Steelers. It's just the type of game that you're going to be sitting here at, 11:30 on Sunday night being like, why didn't I see this coming with Pittsburgh?
Chris Felica with us of Fox Sports. And, Bear, it's not part of the contest this week. Kind of an odd playoff schedule where Miami, Mississippi are playing Thursday night. Oregon, Indiana playing Friday night. So that's going to be Oregon, Indiana will be part of next week's contest. You might not want to tip your hand, but just some initial thoughts of how you look at the Ducks and the Hoosiers in that matchup in Atlanta.
Well, I laid the points with Oregon earlier in the year in the game at Austin, and obviously that was never the right side in that game. And now you see a pretty big adjustment with what Oregon was in that game to where they are now. I got a lot of Oregon futures I got 10, 11 to 1. I got a bunch of stuff on the Ducks. So we'll see. I will be certainly rooting for Oregon to win the game outright. I may wind up playing some Indiana money line in that game. That way I don't get kind of middled if Indiana were to win by less than 4.5. But it's amazing what Indiana does. Like, you look at them compared to other teams, and you're like, how are they doing what they're doing? But they just, Nick Saban always said, like, bad loses more than good wins. And I think that's the key here with Indiana. They don't commit stupid penalties. They don't turn the ball over. They're always in position with Brent Haynes and that defense making the right play. There are no mental breakdowns. They're just a tremendously well coached and drilled team, and maybe they don't have the best players, and so all the people with the stars ratings and the blue chip ratings about how you need this number of blue chips to win the national title, they're kind of on their seat's edge right now, because Indiana is 2 wins away from blowing all that up.
Yeah, I think I read that Indiana's got no players who are 5-star recruits out of high school on the roster. Is that right? 0 5-stars?
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, Bear, in that first meeting, Indiana was, what, a 7.5-point dog at Eugene, now a 4-point favorite. Do you feel like Indiana's kind of peaked in the market at this point, being a 4-point favorite against Oregon in the rematch?
I think it might go up a little bit more.
Okay.
It just seems like I wouldn't surprise if that hit 4.5 before we get a little buyback.
All right, Chris Felica of Fox Sports. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. His best bets for NFL Week 18. Stay tuned, back in a couple minutes here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Is the Circa Friday Football Invitational, presented by Omaha Steaks on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of the Circa Friday Football Invitational. If you're hosting a watch party that deserves championship-level food, Omaha Steaks has got you covered. Fire up their 6-ounce pure ground filet mignon burgers made from 100% filet mignon for unmatched juiciness, plus bacon-wrapped scallops with rich smoky flavor and Red Hook Ale beer battered shrimp that deliver the perfect crispy bite. It's a spread built for game day, guest, and serious flavor. Right now, when you spend $129, you score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings and save 50% site wide at omahasteaks.com/vsin. So from kickoff to the final whistle, Omaha Steaks delivers legendary quality that wins every time. omahasteaks.com/vsin. Minimum purchase required. See site for details. Back here on the Friday Football Invitational with Chris the Bear Felica of Fox Sports. And Bear, nice job last week. While you're on the boat, you're cruising around the Caribbean, you're 5-1-1, and the one push, a little bit unlucky. The numbers do matter. I thought maybe you laid 3.5 with BYU. I went back and looked. The contest number was 4. So you won your best bet last week, pushed on BYU, 5-1-1, put you in position to put some heat on Chris Massaro here.
Yeah, I took off, and I'm like, yeah, I'm like 6.5 or whatever points behind him. I'm like, I'm going to need a little bit of a miracle here. And then we did. We got the 5-1-1 on the boat. I couldn't remember. We were at dinner, and I ultimately saw the final 4 points. I couldn't remember if we got 3.5 or 4. I'm like, I knew at worst I pushed. Then when I got back, I did land on 4. I'm like, God damn it, I would have loved the extra half a point. But yeah, Miami is the best bet. Worked out really well. No sweat there. And so point and a half back. And I'm curious to see what Chris has this week. Maybe if I can put a little bit more heat on him with minimal college card. But
cashin' tickets is what it's all about.
Chris Massaro have two common plays this week, and you have a best bet from the same game, but it's not the same play. And I'd also imagine last week you were kicking yourself saying, why the hell did I take the Jets, right?
Oh, yeah, I took 2Q for school, got a little too contrarian there. Everybody looked Patriots, massive. Why are we laying that many points on the road? And the Jets have not been competitive for a month. And why I took the Jets as opposed to some other options that were there, I will not be forgiving myself for that.
That's all right. All right, now let's talk about the games that mean the most here in NFL Week 18. And you've got a couple plays, and you're playing the dogs. First Saturday night, 49ers, Seahawks. Mike Palm and I talked about this when the show opened tonight. And felt like this should be a pick 'em game. You're playing the 49ers plus 2.5.
Yeah, it's the same thing. I think this number got a little out of hand. I don't get the move at all. The 49ers defense may have some injuries, some problems, some difficulties, but their offense is playing great. And we're expecting Sam Darnold to go out there and light this team up. I don't know, man. I know they had the incredible comeback against the Rams and whatever else, but I think the Niners here potentially with an opportunity to have the number one seed, depending on everything. And I think the Niners here are the right side. Do I ultimately think they can get to a Super Bowl? I don't know. I think come playoff time, maybe they could get picked off. But here against the Seahawks, whose offense hasn't exactly been doing much lately, I think the Niners can kind of pick them apart. I do like San Francisco here.
Yeah, it's obvious. I think the Seattle backers are saying, hey, we got the far superior defense in this game. But don't forget what Sam Darnold did in Week 18 last year. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yep. Same exact thing. But 2 years in a row, he's been in a position for number one seed going into the year and kind of turned into that pumpkin the last couple of weeks of the year and in the playoffs as well. And I have not been a Seahawks guy all year, and I'm certainly not going to start backing them now.
All right, Sunday night. I said this number now at Circa is up to 4.5. Most of the market's at 4. This morning, the number's 3.5. And Barry, you're taking the Steelers plus 3.5. In regular season meetings between Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh, the underdog is 25-7-3 ATS, and you're going to take the points with Pittsburgh.
That sounds about right. I did not know that number, but it makes a whole lot of sense because it feels like most of them have been in that 17-13, 20-17 type of range. And we were just joking about it before. This feels like the perfect game to be on Mike Tomlin and the Steelers. You look so bad the week before. You don't have DK Metcalf. You got nobody out there capable of making a play at the wide receiver position. And now the world's kind of against you here. Lamar Jackson's going to play. Derrick Henry, you give him the ball 30 times and they can go there and win. Steelers getting TJ Watt back should be a help for them. I think this probably could be one of those lower scoring games again, but it's just the type of game where if you lay points with the Ravens, you're just going to wind up, I think, sitting there late Sunday night being, why the hell did I do this? How did I not see the writing on the wall for the Steelers putting together kind of one of those voodoo doll type performances again and pulling a win out of their you-know-what?
All right, Chris, I'm going to throw up Chris Massaro's plays here, and you can look at the leader's card and react, and you guys have a best bet on the same game. Chris Massaro's best bet, Chargers-Broncos, under the total of 37.5. Again, Massaro, 67-50-2, 72.5 points. 1.5 point lead on the bear here. Best bets for Massaro, 9-7-1. So Chargers, Broncos, under 37.5, his best bet. He's also playing Cardinals, Rams, over 46.5. Cardinals plus 8. Patriots minus 11.5 against the Dolphins. Saints plus 3.5 at Atlanta. Vikings laying 8 to the Packers, and Niners plus 2.5 against the Seahawks. So, Bear, you've got a couple of common plays there. 49ers plus 2.5 and Cardinals plus 8.5.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I just gave the rationale for the Niners. And the Rams-Cardinals game, I guess he and I kind of see the same thing, which I guess makes sense being that we're 1-2 in the standings and we're kind of looking at things very, very similarly. It's kind of that correlated parlay. If the Niners do win that game on Saturday night, the Rams are pretty much locked in. And why would the Rams be playing anybody against an Arizona team? Sure, that hasn't looked great in recent weeks, but with nothing to play for, keep those guys healthy. I mean, you're ready without Devontae Adams. Don't risk losing Puka Nacua or Kyra Williams or any of those other backs as well. Get those guys healthy for a playoff game. So yeah, same kind of thinking there, I think, by the two Chris's in the top of the leaderboard there.
I know some people wonder, is Sean McVay's being honest when he says he's going to play his starters because the Rams need a get-right game. They haven't played right. Well, and McVay says we need a tune-up. We need to play better before the
what
playoffs.
What does that mean, though? I mean, are they going to play a drive? Are they going to play two right. drives? It's going to be like the same thing with Sean McDermott and the Bills. Oh, Josh Allen's good to go. Yeah, Josh Allen good to go. It means he's going to get out there for one drive to keep the streak of consecutive starts alive, and then he's going to be sitting. That's what that means.
And you get a good number with the Cardinals, too. Rams are laying 7 for a time this week, and 8.5 is a contest number here if you want to play the Cards. All right, Chris Passero did not play this game. You did. Eagles minus 4 against the Commanders.
Yeah, I think the Eagles backups even, I mean, Nick Sirianni has been honest and saying he's going to be resting guys, but Josh Johnson, the Washington team that's just got a dead team walking, and I think kind of licked the stamp. Last week they played hard for a while, and then Dallas ultimately did wind up winning that game. But are the Eagles' backups that much worse? I mean, you have a limited roster. I mean, you can only sit and declare so many guys inactive. Some of these guys have to play. I mean, how much of a drop-off right now is Tanner McKee from Jalen Hurts, at least in terms of the passing game? I mean, I think the Eagles' defense still is going to be fine. I think with Shipley, the backups that they have, I think they can certainly go out and win this game. And it's weird, too. Like, the Eagles could wind up getting that 2 seed in the NFC. I mean, if the Seahawks get that 1 seed, like, there's a really good chance that the Eagles could wind up hosting the NFC Championship game. So while they may be resting guys, I think they do care about this game and kind of burying their divisional opponents. Well, so even though the Eagles say there's nothing to play for, they're going to be bench guys, I think the Commanders, it's just SOS wave the white flag here.
Eagles minus 4. We got about 90 seconds left here. Mm-hmm. You're taking the Titans plus 13.5, the big dog at Jacksonville, and the game that we talked about with Massaro's best bet, the under. You're playing Broncos. You're going to lay the 12.5 against the Chargers.
Yeah, this reminds me of the Broncos-Chiefs game from last year where you had the Carson Wentz experience. Kansas City was obviously resting everybody, made no bones about it. And I think we had like a 34-0 game in Denver. I can see a similar type of game here where the Broncos with home field on the line here go out and just blow out a Chargers team that obviously is not trying in this game, worried more about staying healthy for the playoffs. So I think both of us are going to win our bets there in that game with him winning the under as well. And the Titans are playing well. Titans have had an opportunity to win a couple of games lately. They did win one over the Chiefs, and a lot of pressure on Jacksonville. Maybe they wind up winning that division. They've been playing better. A lot of talk for Liam Cohen to be off coach of the year, rather. I like the Jaguars moving forward, but 13.5 seems like a lot of points there, Matt.
You're taking a big dog there, and your best bet, you're laying a big number with the Broncos, 12.5 against the Chargers. Chris Felica, hey, appreciate your time tonight. Congrats on your Miami Hurricanes. Best of luck this weekend.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Talk soon.
All right, quick break on the show. Matt St. Marie, former Circa Million champ, on deck. VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Is the Circa Friday Football Invitational presented by Omaha Steaks on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start the new year off as a better with a VSiN Pro subscription. This is the final week to save 50% off the regular monthly price with our holiday special. Sign up now and get VSiN Pro access all the way through May 1st for just $79. That includes the daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. We're going to cover everything from the college football playoffs and NFL playoffs to March Madness, the Masters, NBA playoffs. Plus, you'll receive our college football playoff betting guide. There's still some use for that as we hit to the final four. Start the new year with an edge. VSiN.com/subscribe. VSIN.com/subscribe. All right. Matt St. Marie, former Circa Million champ. He's in the Elite Eight here at the Friday Football Invitational. Let's go out to the Progressive guest line right now and dial up Matty St., who's joining us live from Minneapolis. Matty St., how you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Matty. Doing well, hanging out with The kids this weekend, hockey tournaments galore. Obviously, in Minnesota, state of hockey, you can't have kids without getting them on the skates at 3 years old. So we're in the thick of it, but excited for these last few weeks of this contest. You know, happy to see this year you guys expanded it into the playoffs so we get a little bit more fun here with, you know, with the wild card and divisional round over the next few weeks. Probably a better way to end the year than trying to guess on these week 18 lines and the motivation and all the fun that goes with guessing who's going to be in, who's going to be out, and how long they're going to play, and all those sorts of things. So everything's been good, Maddie. Thanks for having me tonight.
And you have twins. You and your wife have twins, 7-year-old, one boy, one girl, and the boy's still playing. He's playing hockey now, right?
Yeah, he had, you know, first day of his hockey tournament today, they went 2-0, and he popped in about 5 goals and 2 assists in the 2 games. So he's off and running this tournament. And then we have 2 more games tomorrow, and hopefully we get 2 more wins and play in the championship on Sunday. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I coach him. I'm one of the head coaches on the team, and it's a lot of fun to watch him kind of love the game. Like, my wife and I loved hockey growing up ourselves. So fun to see him take a passion for it.
Wild times up there in Minneapolis. I've been reading a lot about that. Do you still have ownership stake in some of those Somali daycare centers?
No. Yeah, it's a little bit sad to see what's going on. It seems like Minnesota's been embarrassment on the news of late. So hopefully we can get some new elected leaders next fall and try to correct some of the fraud that's going on up here.
Hey, how about the Vikings? You played the Vikings where – been anti-Vikings here in the contest the last few years. This did not make your card tonight, but I wanted to throw it out there because the Vikings are a team that you have a pretty good read on. J.J. McCarthy is going to get to start. You did not play this again as a contest play for you, but the Vikings are up to 9.5-point favorites over the Packers here at Circa. Do you agree with that number?
I didn't know what to make of the number. Yeah. You know, I know it's going to be Clayton Tune for the Packers. I know that they can't, you know, dare lose another player before the wild card round. So you don't know what the motivation is going to be, but on the Viking side, you don't know really how healthy JJ is. You know, I know he's practiced all week, but that was on his throwing hand. And I just got a little leery of trying to back JJ McCarthy, trying to cover basically 10 points. Cause I know the contest line was 8, you know, throughout the afternoon, it bumped up to 9.5. And that's kind of that weak spot, you know, not really through any of the key numbers. Like, all right, they basically need to win by 10. You know, like, can you trust the Vikings to win, you know, 24-10 right now against a Packers team? Maybe you can, maybe you can't. It's just, you don't know what you're going to get. You know, I know Hockenson's out, Darisaw's out. And so, you know, you're relying on JJ to deliver the ball. So it's just one of those games that, you know, I just didn't feel comfortable knowing how what the health looked like for McCarthy. And I know the Packers have kind of been, you know, limping into the playoffs, if you will. So they kind of need to, you know, at least put a little bit of effort on film here and feel good about themselves before next week. So it's just one that, even though with the line movement, I didn't feel comfortable playing with the Vikings, but that's just, you know, living up here and seeing the Vikings, you know, hurt my feelings over the last 41 years of my life. So I just passed on it. I passed on it this week.
2023 Circa Million champ, Matt St. Marie. You can follow him at Matty St. Now, you are going to trust the Bengals to cover a big number. Your best bet, Bengals -7.5 against the Browns.
Yeah, I think this is a game where Zach Taylor is coaching for his future for next year. And, you know, ever since Burrow came back into the lineup week 13, their offense has been humming at all cylinders. So if you look at it, they're 4-1 against the spread since his return. Browns 2-3 against the spread in the last 5 weeks. You know, the Browns offense, 31st in EPA in that same 5-game stretch, but they also lose their top talent receiver in Fannin. If you look, that's been kind of like the go-to guy for Shador, and that's the way that the Bengals have been beat all year. Without him, I don't know how the Browns really move the ball. And if you look at the Bengals D over the last 5 weeks, you know, they were, you know, cellar dwellers for most of the year. Over the last 5, they rank 11th in defensive EPA, and they're 4th best in their rush D success rate. So I look at this as a superior offensive team in the Bengals. The Browns D historically over the last 3 years has not traveled well. They're a great home defense. So I do like the Bengals. They're competing hard down the stretch. I think that Burrow's going to have a nice day, and we'll see if Garrett can get that sack record on Sunday, but I really like the Bengals by margin on Sunday.
All right. Bengals minus 7.5, your best bet. Now, Chris Massaro and Chris Felica are on the same side of this game, and it's the opposite of you. Do you believe Sean McVay is going to play his starters, and he's going to play most of the game, and that he needs a get-right game because the Rams have not played well here leading into the playoffs? Massaro and Felica played Cardinals plus 8.5. You're on Rams minus 8.5.
Yeah, there's, you know, I was listening to Chris just the last segment, and he's talking about parlay to parlay, and that's actually the same way I targeted this card as well. And you'll see, you know, it goes with, you know, my other play with Seattle. We can get to that in a moment. But I do like the Rams. You know, this Arizona Cardinals defense has just been an absolute sieve over the last month and a half. They've given up 34 points, 3 points per game the last three. On the season, they average 28. So I think even if it is Stafford and the starters for maybe a quarter or so, and Jimmy Garoppolo comes in, I think they're going to have just as much success. And then also, you know, I don't know how much the Rams, you know, top guns like Verse and those guys are going to be playing on Sunday as well. So I think Arizona can push it. So if you see, I played the Rams minus 8.5. I think no matter who's at the helm quarterback, they're going to be able to score on the Cardinals. But I also think Brissett's going to be able to find success in the second half of the game. So I think, I think the Rams get up to a nice margin. And I think this is going to be a high scoring game. And I think that the Rams win it by 10, no matter who's the quarterback back there. But yeah, I think it behooves the Rams to, you know, play it smart on Sunday, no matter what. They're either going to be the fifth or the sixth seed. You know, obviously you'd probably like to go play the winner of the Carolina-Tampa Bay game instead of having to go play in Philly or in Chicago in cold weather. So I think it, you know, obviously it depends on how Seattle and San Francisco shakes out on Saturday. But let's say Seattle wins, I think Rams have a lot of incentive to knock up that five seed.
All right, you're playing Rams minus 8.5 and Cardinals-Rams over the total of 46. So I got a correlated parlay in that game. All right, the battle for the AFC North. This is a man's man game. This is like a back alley brawl. Only true tough guys. Invited. This is a Tim Walz type of game, right? The true tough guy game.
He's going to drop a pick six, Matt. He's going to drop the pick six.
How about Ravens minus 3.5 and Ravens Steelers under the total of 40.5 here?
Yeah, so the under 40.5, that was one of my top plays on my card as I looked at this matchup. You know, you looked at how the Steelers moved the ball last week without DK Metcalf, and you know, they weren't able to generate a lot against a really decimated Cleveland Browns team. If you look at the Browns last week without Garrett, I mean, that's like their only guy right now, and they weren't able to do much. And I think that the Ravens are going to sell out against the run to stop Warren and the running backs. And make Rodgers beat them with the guys like Thielen and Wilson and Freiermuth. And I think Baltimore sits up well to defend those sorts of pass games. You know, Baltimore's been successful against, the long ball this year. And I don't think they have that field stretcher on the Steelers side of the ball to make that happen. So I think there's going to be low scoring on the Steelers side. I also think that the Ravens aren't going to be able to put up a lot of points as well. And I know this goes against, you know, my other play at 3.5, but point is, like, Baltimore, Lamar's banged up. I think obviously Henry's going to get fed a lot of share. I think Harbaugh realized the mistake he made 2 to 3 weeks ago, and they had game in hand and pulled Henry out, and then all of a sudden the game flipped on their heads, and now they're battling from this spot. But Heinz Field, traditionally with these two teams, it's going to be low scoring affair. But with Ravens minus 3.5, this was the last play to make my card, and this was a little bit of a contest theory pick. I looking at the card, knowing who's in this contest, I had a hunch that Steelers plus 3.5 was going to be a really popular play with how sharp this group is. And if you look where I am in the contest, I need to make up ground. So I don't think Steelers are going to make a score a lot, but I think Baltimore 21-17.
Yeah, the Bear, Chris Felica, and Kenny White both checked in so far with plays on the Steelers plus 3.5. You got the Ravens minus 3.5. Matt St. Marie's got two plays on the Saturday night game between the Seahawks and the 49ers. We will talk about those after a quick break here in the Friday Football Invitation.
Is the the Circa Friday Football Invitational, presented by Omaha Steaks on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Matt St. Marie, the 2023 Circa Million champ, is still with us here on the Progressive Guest Line tonight. And Matty St., I know you're good buddies with Jason Jarvis, professional gambler out of Connecticut. Jarvis is a two-time top 10 finisher in the Circa Million, been a very strong NFL handicapper the past few years. He's alive here in the Elite Eight of this contest again. And I want to throw Jason Jarvis's card at you and get your reactions here, and especially on his best bets. So here, Jarvis, this week, he's tied for fourth with Kenny White, 68 points, 4.5 points out of first. The Jarvis card for this week is Seahawks minus 2.5 on Saturday night. He is also playing Bengals, 7.5-point favorites, Colts plus 10, Titans plus 13.5, Giants plus 3.5 against the Cowboys, Ravens laying 3.5 to the Steelers, and I thought a peculiar best bet here by Jarvis. Maybe he's trying to think outside the box, or it's a contrarian play going with some contest strategy here, but the best bet for Jason Jarvis, Lions plus 3 at Chicago. What do you think of that card, Matty?
Yeah, the Lions' best bet's an interesting one because you have obviously the two coaches know each other really well. There's a little bit of bad blood earlier in the year when Detroit hung up 50 on Chicago. Mm-hmm. So you don't know what kind of the motivation is going to be for Ben Johnson. I think obviously they're kind of locked into a 2 or 3 seed, depending on you know who they want to play against. It almost behooves them to get the 3 seed, I think, but. Yeah, who knows? That's kind of tricky, no matter what way you do it. But, I mean, the Lions injury card is a little bit troubling if you're looking at it. Penei Sewell is going to be out. Aleem McNeil's out. Anzalone out. Hopefully, for Jason's sake, that Amonra is healthy. I mean, I think that game has a lot of points. Obviously, the total was about 50 or 51. So, obviously, the market's believing that Amonra is going to be good to go, and hopefully Taylor Decker can play. But then you also worry about Ben Johnson and the kind of a little bit of motivation on the revenge to get back at what Campbell did to him earlier in the year. So interesting game. Chicago obviously has to be a little bit careful as well. They don't want to have a major injury, over, one spot in the seedings. And no matter what way you cut, either you're going to host Green Bay or you're going to have San Francisco or the Rams come and visit you. So, tricky spot, but. For Jason's sake, hopefully he gets his best bet. Other games, obviously him and I overlap on a couple. Obviously we're seeing the same side of things on the Seahawks and the Bengals, as well as the Ravens. So hopefully him and I are aligned, but it gets to the part of the contest where there's not a lot of picks left, and him and I are kind of, one spot away from each other, and I think we're about 5 points away from Massaro and Felica. So we have some ground to gain up, and I think it benefits us to be on the opposite side of those guys. And mm-hmm. If you want to win a contest, you can't be aligned with the top dogs. You got to take some opposite sides, and hopefully your coin flips the right side.
Matt St. Marie, 62-56-1 against spread, 67 total points, and you're 1 behind Jarvis, and 5.5 points behind Chris Massaro, the current leader. You can see the standings right there. You played Rams minus 8.5. And I do think this game is going to mean something. Actually, when it kicks off, I think the Rams are going to know their fate. But if they're going to be the 5 or the 6 seed. And, Matt, you want to be the 5 seed because you're going to play, I believe, in the 5 spot, you're going to play the Bucks or the Panthers, right? And the 6 seed, you would have to play the Eagles or the Bears. I believe that's the way it breaks, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think if Seattle wins, the Rams still need to win on Sunday to get that 5 seed. And I think it does mean a lot. If you look at the Rams just a few weeks ago, they visited Carolina, and that was a game that there were some fluky turnovers by Stafford, one in the end zone that, got tipped at the line of scrimmage, one in the rain that, he slipped out of his hand and they got a return fumble for it. But that was a game I felt like the Rams were the right side the whole game. They're about to go in to be up 11 points on one of those turnovers. And the game kind of flipped and the spread was 9 or 10 that day. And then I think the Rams could easily handle Tampa Bay. So I think that's a game that the Rams definitely would love to have the 5 seed to get that spot. Obviously, it depends a lot on what happens in Seattle and San Francisco Saturday night. So they might not have a choice.
It's odd when you think about the Rams, as of last week, the favorites in the Super Bowl futures market and are going to be the 5 or 6 seed in the NFC playoff picture. Matt St. Marie with us, 2023 Circa Million champ. Follow him at Matty Saint. All right, your last two plays tied into the same game Saturday night in San Francisco. Seahawks -2.5 and under 48.
Yeah, so I think this is a game where, yeah, San Francisco, this is their third game in 12 days, and they're pretty banged up on both sides of the ball. I'm assuming that Trent Williams won't be able to play. He didn't practice all week with a hamstring. I think it probably benefits them just to play it safe with their Hall of Fame left tackle, because without them, they don't have really much of a chance in the playoffs, I believe. And then Pearsall is going to be out as well. But really, the domino for me is Mike McDonald. If you look at what he's done versus Purdy and Shanahan over the last couple of years, he's really had Purdy's number. 2 years ago, when he was with the Ravens, they went in to San Francisco as a 5-point dog, and they ended Brock Purdy's MVP campaign that night. Won the game. They turned Purdy over 4 times and won 33-19. So that's you know, that's in the back of my mind. If you look at San Francisco on defense, you know, they've got a lot of loose ends. And, you know, it kind of makes me nervous with Sam Darnold, of course. I've seen it as a Viking fan last year, the two most high leverage situations. He didn't come to play, but one of those was against the Rams defense that, you know, had pressure up and down his throat all night. That won't be the case on Saturday. San Francisco's pressure rate's one of the worst in the NFL. He should be pretty comfortable back there. I think JSN's going to have a really nice night. They're going to be able to run the ball. And then I'm also relying on Mike McDonald to develop a great defensive game plan that can just create enough roadblocks with Brock Purdy and the team to force field goals and not touchdowns. So I know I'm going in front of the freight train of Shanahan and his offense and the run they've been on, but you know, I'm trusting Mike McDonald, what he's done historically. And in San Francisco, they've had a great run offensively. We've seen it, but the level of competition they've seen over the last month has been pretty weak on the defensive side. This is going to be a big step up for them. I think Seattle is going to be able to put up points, and I think they're going to be able to get just enough stops for the game to go under and for them to cover the 2.5. Obviously, I wish the line was -1 or -1.5 that it was earlier in the week, but we can't pick the contest line, so this is what we get stuck with, and I still think Seattle is the right side on Saturday night.
Matt St. Marie from Minneapolis. There you can see his card. Best bet, Bengals -7.5. He is playing. He's got two plays on the Saturday night game. Seahawks -2.5. Seahawks Niners -48. He's got two plays on the Rams-Cardinals game. Laying 8.5 with the Rams and over 46.5. And two plays Sunday night with Ravens Steelers -40.5 and Ravens -3.5. Matty Saint, thanks for hanging out tonight, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to Matt. Thank you, everybody. Have a good evening.
All right.
Good luck this weekend.
Best of luck this weekend. He's 9-8 on his best bets, and he's rolling with the Bengals as his best bet. In case you missed it, Chris the Bear Felica joined us to kick off this hour, and the Bear right now in second place, 65-50-4. 71 total points, and he is 1.5 behind Chris Massaro, the leader. Here is the Bears card, and he's rolling with the Broncos as his best bet. 12.5-point favorite against the Chargers. Justin Herbert, several starters, obviously out for the Chargers. A year ago in this situation, when the Chiefs sat Patrick Mahomes and a bunch of starters and went to Denver, Broncos won that game 38-0. Chiefs packed it in, didn't show up to play. Bear thinking that the Chargers probably going to do the same thing here on Sunday, so Broncos -12.5, the best bet for Chris Felica. He's also on Steelers +3.5, so opposite Matty Saint on that play. 49ers +2.5, he's also opposite Matty Saint there. Cardinals +8.5, opposite Matt on that play. And the rest for the Bear, Eagles -4 against the Commanders. Titans +13.5 at Jacksonville. And the one college football playoff game eligible for the contest for this week, because Oregon-Miami is going to be next Friday night. That'll be a part of next week's contest. The Thursday night game, Miami and Ole Miss under the total of 51.5 for the Bear. And the Bear's best bet last week was Miami +9.5 against Ohio State. And he nailed that one. Hurricanes with the upset win over the Buckeyes. And that was no doubt the right side the entire way in that game. But he's not going to play the side to Miami Ole Miss game. He's playing the total under 51.5. Got to say, Trinidad Chambliss, incredibly impressive at quarterback for Ole Miss. That team did not appear to miss Lane Kiffin at all last night. And it's funny because Pete Golding has coached two games as a head coach. And he made some mistakes in the first half last night. But he coached a better second half than Kirby Smart did. Smart's won two national championships. He made two moves in the second half last night that were dumb and dumber. And Georgia goes down to Ole Miss. And we're going to have a Miami Ole Miss in one semi, Oregon, Indiana in the other. And we have Scott Pritchard on deck in the Friday Football Invitational. Stay tuned.